The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
CinemaSins has a fan club. It's called the Sin Club, and members get all sorts of things like early episodes, bonus videos, merch discounts, and even monthly bonus podcasts. Membership starts at $3 a month, and you can sign up now at patreon.com/CinemaSins. But they're still smelling Motherbox on these.
Correct. That's correct. Yes. Right. Yes.
Because your keys kidnapping all this
time. That's the cold open right there, baby.
Welcome to SinCast, presented by CinemaSins.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the SinCast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined by Barrett Sher.
Hello!
Jonathan Watkins.
Hello, hello.
And Aaron Dicer.
Hidely ho, Cinerinos.
Today, we're going to be doing a mini-pod.
Mini-pod!
Snidey-pod!
On Zack Snyder's Justice League, the so-called Snyder Cut that is 4 hours and is on HBO Max. You know, I know I sense a palpable excitement about us talking about this movie. The thing that I want to say right off the bat is I enjoyed this way more than the Joss Whedon version.
Oh, for sure.
And I also can't wait to send this movie.
Me too! Had the same thought, man!
This is going to be an epic video. We will be doing this at some point. Yeah. I don't know when, but we will be. That's what I wanted to say right off the bat. What did you guys think?
Yeah, I'm with you. I like this a lot more than the Whedon cut, which isn't saying a lot, right? Like, that's the thing about this is the Whedon cut was a mess. And I found myself very aware of their different perspectives on what makes, you know, a good, fun superhero movie. And I found myself in, like, you know, Whedon mindset going, oh, that's, you know, funny or cute. And then in Snyder mindset going, whoa, that's dark and visual. And so it just was a muddled mess. Mm-hmm. This is an artistic vision. Whether you like it or not, this is one person's vision of, you know, what this movie should have been. I also think it's, you can't talk about it without really realizing what a benefit it is to have hindsight on remaking a movie. The idea of a movie comes out, people say stuff about it, and then you get to make a different version. And it's like, yeah, you've got a lot of hindsight there. So it comes with its little perks as well. But yeah, no, I had overall had a good time. I had a good time with it.
I don't know what's happening with Jonathan right now.
He's going in and out of the live show, so I don't know if that's a internet issue or what, but we'll pop him in when
like
he's
the
in.
Flash. So.
Barrett, what did you think about this movie?
Thought a lot about this version of this movie, which is a completely different movie. It's apples and oranges calling it a Whedon cut or a Snyder cut, I think. And as I was watching it for, you know, the 19 hours that I spent watching it, because I didn't watch it all in one fell swoop. I don't like this movie. Mm-hmm. And I hated the original theatrical cut, right? Mm-hmm. But I didn't like this one either. I don't like it.
Okay.
So question, Barrett. It's interesting to say, because we're playing an inherently comparative game. If you're playing that game, which you haven't mentioned yet, is this one better, even a little bit? Like a little, you know, still didn't like it, but it's, you know, better than the original?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But just barely for you.
But it's like a loose stool versus like a fully formed thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't want to say anything offensive here, but it's it just because something is marginally better to watch as an experience, I don't think makes it good for me, at least.
Right.
So yes, right. Yes. The answer to your question is yes, but I don't like it.
But eh.
Jonathan, right. While you're here and not cutting out,
think? I wasn't cutting out. I'm sorry, guys. No, I was hearing like you guys would talk, and then I would hear it again 2 seconds later. It was just, I don't know what was going on. Everything seems to be working now.
We didn't see you at all. So,
oh
yeah. So you were gone. We didn't know where you were.
Oh,
but anyway, while I can see you, what do you think?
I liked this better than the Whedon cut, mm-hmm. I think, but I still didn't like it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you guys have talked about. The link doesn't bother me. I mean, I think the only, and I'm sorry if I'm repeating stuff you guys are saying, I've already said, but I think the only reason this is 4 hours is because it's on HBO Max, right? This wouldn't have been 4 hours if it had been in the theater. It would have been maybe 2.5.
No way.
Not a chance.
Snyder's even said he's got multiple versions of this he could do. But I don't know, man. I'm glad the people that wanted it so bad and weren't toxic fucknots really enjoyed it. I'm very happy for them. I wish I could have joined you because I love these characters. Or most of them. I love DC Comics and you know, I wanted to be there, but it's a lot of Zack Snyder stuff that I don't particularly care for. The slow-mo and having to have a music video every 10 minutes. And I feel like he learned all the wrong lessons from Watchmen. but yeah, no, I don't know what all of you guys have been saying. I mean, I liked things about it, but overall, I didn't really care for it.
I mean, we've just been bagging on you the whole time.
Yeah, that's
cool. Yeah, we haven't been talking about the movie at all.
But but no, the thing about this movie to me, I have now watched it twice, believe it or not. And I even watched the original Whedon version on Saturday to make comparisons and everything. And it's weird, man. It's that Whedon cut just seems so rushed into everything. Mm-hmm. Like it's just like, we're here now. And then like, let's cut halfway into the middle of this action and get into this scene real quick. And then, and everything. I wrote down like a whole bunch of stuff that I was like, oh, that's different. That's different. That's different. You know, like what I'm getting at here is I'm glad there's a lot of addition by subtraction, which is a weird thing to say in a movie that's 2 hours longer than the original.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they cut out so many of that shit that I hated about the first movie, right? The Ezra Miller stand-up routine that he does about brunch.
What is brunch? That was one of the things I liked. That was because the I Need Friends is a perfect way to end that scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. They cut out that really like curious conversation between Silas and Victor, where Victor was like, "You don't want them to see the monster," and he's like, "Oh, nobody thinks you're a monster." And he goes, it's weird that you thought they meant me, that you meant that, that you thought I meant me. And I'm like,
hold on, what?
Who else would he have been talking about? And they cut that out. I'm so glad they cut that out. You know, they cut out all those little things like, you know, Flash falling on Wonder Woman. Ooh boy, he fell on Wonder Woman. That's so funny. And, so many of these things that I'm so glad they cut. I mean, and I'm fine with the song Icky Thump, but I'm glad they changed that song when Aquaman is going into the water.
I did too.
Yeah.
I feel the exact same way. You talked about being a music video, Jonathan. This is less quippy and less music video-y in terms of the actual music than Whedon's cut, I think.
I think so. I liked Whedon's, the score for Whedon's, if I remember correctly, is Elfman. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember who this is. I actually like the score.
Junkie XL,
yeah.
I think.
I actually like the score on Whedon's a little better, but it might have just been the way he used it. But yeah, I know what you're saying. But that Aquaman scene, I kind of forgot. Well, I didn't forget about the icky thump, but I don't know. I wish there had just been nothing there. I did like the touch.
Yeah, it's
on
a song
that
I love. It's just in the middle of that. Yeah. It's obnoxious.
Even though But even though you said, you know, and Snyder definitely did cut out a lot of the more comedic type stuff that Whedon was trying to get in there. But I did think it was funny in that scene, though. There's a shot of that woman in the background and she's like sniffing Aquaman's shirt.
Oh, it's not in the background. It's in the foreground.
Well, I forgot. Yeah, sorry. But, yeah.
It's like, let's show you how much this man means to this woman. She is sniffing his sweater. After she's, he's jumped into the ocean.
Yeah. Small touches like that, I kind of liked. It was more the big action stuff, which I didn't like in the Whedon cut either. I didn't like it much better here. And like Steppenwolf, everybody's talking about a Steppenwolf looks better, maybe, but he still looks like a video game character.
Yeah, he does.
There's
plenty.
He's got big chainmail hanging down there.
There's plenty of things in this movie that are still awful that they could have cut.
Sure. But. Oh, totally. Mm-hmm. And I think what you're talking about, Jonathan, is right. And there's definitely a sense in this movie that we have gone from one extreme to the other, in that now there's no reining in of, you know, Snyder's tendencies. And so he's allowed to take it to the nth degree. Mm-hmm. There's a balance somewhere. Overall, I think I like this movie because it's actually a movie. It actually feels like it has character movement and a plot, and it goes somewhere, and there's resolutions and stuff means something. There's time given to some of these characters who were just completely superfluous in the original cut. And honestly, they should have had their own movies before this movie came out. That's mm-hmm. the thing, right? Like, DC wanted to rush to meet Marvel, and they completely botched the idea of an expanded universe and how to do it. It blows my mind. I've said this before. It blows my mind that the second movie in the DC expanded universe is Batman versus Superman. That's the second movie in the universe. Wonder Woman's after that. It blows my mind how fast they rushed into the team up combined. It would be if the MCU's second movie was Civil War. That makes no sense. Yeah. You know?
Let me ask you a question. You mentioned the superfluous characters and stuff like that. Is it just me? Because again, I watched this in the installments. Is it just me, or was there very little, if any, extra footage of J.K. Simmons as Gordon in this?
There was zero, except zero. For maybe. Yeah. I don't even think that initial talk that he has with at the station with. I think that was in the original too. Although it's funny to me, that whole Gordon thing is nonsense anyway. That whole section of the movie is nonsense.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm going to throw out the bat signal so all you motherfuckers will come out and talk to me. Oh yeah, here's some photos of where we've seen parademons. And then they get out of there.
They fucking leave.
Well, and I know.
Why do you get J.K. Simmons? Why do you get J.K. Simmons? Get fucking William Henderson or Martin Henderson from The Ring and throw into that fucking ring. He needs work. Don't put J.K. fucking Simmons in that fucking role, man.
Inside joke to people who did not hear any of us.
I was just about to say that Aaron wanted to talk about J.K. Simmons' hair. So,
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all they had for the original version, and he wasn't able to reshoot.
Yeah,
from what I understand, Aaron, there isn't as much reshooting as we thought either in this.
There's maybe
a lot of Ray Fisher stuff, but
the final scene was a new. Oh, that was new shot though, right? That was not reshot.
See, that's the thing. He had a
lot.
Yeah,
what I mean is new shoots. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. He had a lot of his idea for the movie shot. I mean, lots of effects needed to be done, that kind of stuff. But as far as actual reshoots, I think you're right. I think we'd all be surprised. There were plenty, but that it wasn't
I don't think we're ever going to know the whole story. I mean, I think the goddamn it, the horrible, horrible thing that happened to his family, and his poor daughter, that obviously factored in, but from what I understand, he was already fighting with the studio. There were already issues. I mean, I think there's a lot that we're just never going to know, which is fine. We don't need to know.
I think we will know.
We'll know.
I think this is too much going
on. There might be a documentary on this.
Yeah. I think if we don't hear about it in the next 5 years, we'll hear it at least at the next 15 to 20. There'll be people coming out and oral history of how this movie got made and so on and so forth. But
Amber was snorting coke off Jason Momoa's butt.
I mean, that's the way it goes. Yeah.
Are we doing spoilers yet? I was about to get to that. Okay. All right. Yeah.
So I want to get to the spoiler section and everything, but let's go ahead and give our grades. I'll start us off. I know this is going to be wildly disparate grades and everything, but I'm going to give this a solid B.
Cool.
I think that's right where I'm at. B for me as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably give the Whedon cut like a C minus, maybe even like a D plus. So I guess I'll give this a C. I'm closer to a C minus than a C plus. I'll say that.
All right.
It's a D for me, motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm. You're going to give it the D, huh? Giving it the D. All right. At least nobody went completely out of their fucking minds.
It's interesting to note, though. I would say, well, I mean, Chris and Aaron are probably neither one of them are comic book readers at all. So that is interesting to me. Like the least comic book likes the movie better.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say this, and this isn't spoilery, so I can say it here. The character traits for Superman and Batman is something I hear comic book fans talk about. Like, that's not Superman or that's not Batman. Well,
there are variations like that in the comics. That's not really the
right
case. Yeah.
Right. And I guess what I'm saying is, you mentioned not being a comic book fan. It allows me just to kind of go with whoever's artistic vision of it. Like, I don't have baggage of Superman has to, you know, be this or whatever. So, yeah.
Superman's fine in this. What I was talking about was Man of Steel, because I rewatched Man of Steel, Batman versus Superman, and Whedon Justice League before this came out. And I had not seen any of them since they came out in the theater. This is my second time to watch all of them. Man of Steel, which I thought would probably be the best, might even be the worst, because there's that scene early on where Kevin Costner tells Clark, young Clark, that he should have let those kids in the bus die, basically.
It was so wild. I agree with you there. And yeah.
A lot of people like that, though. Like, that's what people dig into, that it's like, it's dark and it's real and it's all about, you know, and that's fine. I'm out. When that happens, like, I'm like, that doesn't make sense to me. And furthermore, what if he was the only one that survived? How would that look any less weird? You know? Yeah. And then he kills his
Jonathan
dad later.
Is doing a Man of Steel mini pod right now.
He lets his dad die. Well, I'm just saying, that's what Aaron was referring
just
to.
Tuning
I was
in.
Talking about.
Welcome to Man of
so
Steel.
So I have about Superman's 5 minutes of thoughts on Man of Steel that I want to get into right. Before we get into.
I wrote all these notes.
I was explaining what I was talking about with Aaron the other day.
Sorry. You just unfurled your scroll.
Yep. We can see the feather tipped pen in the background and everything.
That's right.
I do write with a feather tipped
lantern.
That's how I write my sins.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get on to the spoiler section.
Kevin Spacey is Kaiser Sose.
Luke's father is actually Darth Vader. She's the sister and the daughter. They just
No. I'm reading the books.
I want to go off on a little bit on these notes that I wrote. I'm not going to read all of them, but the first couple of them, they cut the thing at the beginning with Superman talking to the kids, which is obviously an improvement by subtraction immediately, especially because we don't have that Mission Impossible era Henry Cavill mustache thing going on at the beginning of it. This is a big deal for this movie. The Batman catching the parademon with that dude's fear on the top of the rooftop cutting that out changes a lot for this movie for me for the better. First off, this whole parademons are attracted to fear thing, that is so goddamn stupid in that original movie. And
fear.
And not only does they cut that out, but now you cut out the part where he's like trying to invent the stupid noisemaker thing that goes on his Batmobile so that they'll all be attracted to running after his Batmobile later and everything.
Follow me, you damn insects.
Yeah. Now there's an actual reason he went in there and broke into the place, and he's a threat, and they're just going to chase after him now, which is totally fine. You don't need to fucking come out with some boing,
sounds going on. The only thing I liked about that scene, though,
The rooftop scene is what you're talking about.
Yeah. But that scene felt the most like a Batman movie. But this movie really isn't a Batman movie, so it's not needed. I do not like, though, I will say, as far as the characters go, which I guess, I don't know, we can talk about that later, Chris. I didn't mean to interrupt your thought.
No, you can go ahead and talk about
whatever you want. Well, I was just going to say, I thought the characters, though, I thought my opinion of them was about the same. Like I think the Flash gets the most fun stuff to do. Mm-hmm. I think Aquaman and Wonder Woman get the most short-sighted. Mm-hmm. And I like Affleck as Wayne in this movie, but I don't like Batman. And I think a lot of it just has to do with the way Snyder shoots him. And that costume is dumb. I'm sorry. I hate those fake muscles, which make no sense because I'm sure Affleck worked his ass off to get real muscles.
You saw him do CrossFit in the previous movie, man. Yeah, like he was flipping tires and shit.
Yeah, and he's like, got doing the ropes. These, like, it just looks dumb. He looks like a Mighty Morphin Power Ranger villain or something. And then who else? Superman. And they do more with Cyborg. Although I will say about Cyborg, I hated that football scene.
Oh, yeah.
Hated that so much. And I even tweeted about that. I hate the whole, we need to stop looking up in the stands and our fucking parent isn't there. That just needs to be done. And the idea that that is what kind of turns him on his dad, like that's the big motivation. Well,
And he isn't used to that by now. Like I remember playing rec baseball and stuff, and like a lot of times one parent or the other wasn't there.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not a big deal. You know what's good, what the deal is when you're going in, but it's not just that, I guess. It's the car crash afterwards and all that build to it. But absolutely. Yes, you're right about the whole parent not being there thing is, I mean, that's, you see that in every, when they have it, when somebody has their ballet recital or they have the kid, you know, the Robin Williams not showing up at the beginning of Hook or, you know, these type of things.
This has been your Hook mini pod.
That's right. I'm glad what they, now you're right here. The characters for me in this, what's amazing about the whole thing about we need to bring Superman back in, which is, of course, in the first movie. That's not, I mean, this is the big deal. We got to get Superman back. When Superman comes back, it does show you how fucking worthless these people are, these heroes are, without him. They don't have a chance of winning without him. And when he shows up, it's like, yeah, Superman. But it's like, ew. I want to see something where, like, you know, the team is doing more to win by the end. And yeah, they have that tag team at the end where they you know, basically, you know, I don't know, hobbit him or into the warp thing.
Flash
saves the day, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Flash is the ultimate.
I was getting to that.
Oh, okay, all right, fair enough.
Okay, I have an opinion on that too.
Yes, there is a point where Flash is he's given a lot more to do in that thing, and they get Cyborg to try to take those boxes apart, and they need Flash's, like, you know, almost speed of light electricity to get it. Yes, that's true. They do need that. But, like, it just seems like everything else beyond this, everybody, like Aquaman especially, seems worthless in this. Wonder Woman has her moments, but she's, I mean, you could do without her probably, unfortunately. It really does come down to like a couple of people in this. Batman's doing his, I'm shooting people. At the end, that's all he does.
Does he seem more aware in this, though, that he is useless? Like, I feel like in the theatrical cut, he wasn't as aware of like how much underpowered he was. Well, I feel like he's more aware in this
He made it pretty clear in both versions that he's the money guy. Like he's right. got the money to be
true.
Able to get them what they need. But I would want to point out, though, before we get off this, to Chris's point, though, about Superman having to be there, even with Cyborg and Flash doing their thing to get the mother box going, Superman still has to come in and help them pull them apart.
Yeah.
Right.
So they still,
right.
I mean, and he probably could have done that himself, let's be honest. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the other thing about the powers, the various powers that people have. Before the Joss Whedon Justice League came out, were we ever aware of Superman having the power to be as fast as Flash? In anything, like, it's a great scene to see his eye dart over and track. But have we ever gotten to that point where Wonder Woman has this power too.
Right, that's what I was gonna say. Wonder Woman's I didn't realize she was a speedster.
Yeah,
she's fucking like blocking bullets and also
if you can block bullets like that, you're a speedster.
I noticed crazy this time too that Wonder Woman was kind of meeting Superman, you know, fist for fist in that initial fight when he first comes back. Like, she's actually holding her own against him, but then Steppenwolf kicks the shit out of her. And it's like, if you could hold your own with Superman, you could beat up Steppenwolf.
Yeah, it seems like it. Yeah. Like, I mean, that, I'll never understand how they define these powers ever.
No, that is, I agree with you, because you said that. And I think a lot of that has to do with the CG and not having practical effects, because they can do whatever the fuck they want. Mm-hmm. And it just becomes a $70 million video game. I mean, that's my main problem with this movie. It just looks like a fucking video game half the time. And I know that's going to make me be the old man. And I mean, whatever, but that I don't know. Like, I'd rather go watch 78 Superman. I can touch shit.
I love the visuals. It is my favorite thing about Zack Snyder. I just think it needs to be reined in a little bit. I rewatched Watchmen and Man of Steel and a lot of the Zack Snyder stuff as well coming into this, and it's a common thing. I get giddy about how he sees action. I love the slow-mo. Yes, it can be reined in, but I love it. Like, I just think there's something really cool about, like, that last Flash scene where he is saving the day or whatever and kind of rewinding and stuff's coming back together. I was just like, it blew me away. I thought it was gorgeous.
I will say this about the slow motion thing. We all love it when we see Quicksilver do this. We love it when Sonic the Hedgehog does this. We love it when Flash does this. But I would like at least a couple of scenes where we see Flash doing the thing in the speed that he's doing.
Sure.
Instead of, he's running over here really fast to go check on Cyborg because he got thrown into the
wall. I agree with that. I disagree with Aaron. Other than the super, which I think it's funny that scene with him and Superman is probably the best scene in both versions. I'm assuming Snyder did that scene, but I'm just saying it's my favorite moment in both versions. But anyways, but I think the Speed Force looks like shit. Because it's all that fucking, like, it's like all that lightning bolts and crap that are going on. It looks like an Anthrax album cover or something. It's just, it's like new metal vomiting
cool,
over
right?
itself.
Like,
Aaron totally got that Anthrax cover album.
You know what I'm saying? There, right? Cover. With like the lightning bolts and like tridents and people.
You know, maybe
costumes.
That's part of it. Maybe that's not as played out to me. Like, I love that stuff. Like, you know, maybe it got played out in a time
I'm
where
a
I wasn't
metal
as connected.
Guy.
And
I just think it's silly, but whatever.
By the way, if it is in the comic books that Superman is as fast as Flash, it wasn't in any of the movies.
I agree with you. I think it probably is. I can't off the top of my head. I can't tell you.
So but. You know if anything that we talk about is in the comic books, but it's not in the particular movies, I don't give a fuck.
Your opinion is null and void now.
Let me look at some other things that I wrote about on this, on the differences. The movie's more about Steppenwolf impressing Darkseid than about himself.
That may be my favorite thing. My favorite addition,
I think, that made,
is the Darkseid stuff.
That
the Darkseid
Steppenwolf a more interesting villain.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Absolutely. Like, all of a sudden I understood like why he was doing what he was doing, where it comes, like the almost the parental nature that Steppenwolf had with Darkseid and like impressing a parent, like that stuff. That may be my favorite addition to this and one of the main reasons I liked it more.
But this did feel, but that God, I mean, and I know like Marvel and DC copy each other a lot, like they did in the, you know, like pound for, I mean, they have Hawkman and Hawkeye and I mean, there's, you know, so, but it's really hard not to look at Darkseid post Avengers and not think of Thanos. because they're collecting boxes instead of Infinity Stones to bring him, you know, to take over the world. And it's just, it's hard not to make that comparison. It's really hard.
Yeah. I also wish that there, Darkseid, let's just spell it slightly different, but say the same thing. Come on.
I thought it was Darkseid for a long time.
It like, should in, be like, Darkseid the way it's spelled. You ain't fooling nobody with that shit. Fuck
well,
you.
Plus, when the dude shows up, his minion shows up in the molten thing, he's Desaad. And I'm like, hold on. I can't understand. Is he saying Darkseid in a weird...
Oh yeah!
I bet they say
Apocalypsian way or something like right. that.
I bet
like,
they say Gemini too.
They probably do.
Crazy.
They're totally about the Gemini there. Yeah. Here's one of the additions that I did not like. Remember we had there's a conversation between Lois and Ma Kent at the the Daily Planet. And they have this convo, and it's like ha ha ha, and she mistakes thirsty for hungry and all that, you know. They have the almost identical conversation at Lois's apartment, excising the thirsty bullshit. And then Ma Kent leaves and turns into the Martian Manhunter. This is another thing I can't fucking stand about movies. When somebody's doing their disguise to somebody, they're like, they take the first moment they're out of sight.
I won't be needing this anymore.
Yeah. And it undercuts everything about that scene.
Yes. And totally agree.
And you get Martian Manhunter at the end. He comes in and he says, "Hey, I'm here, guys, for whatever you need me for.
I'll be hanging out on the moon. Just chill."
Yeah, exactly.
Something that was killing me about that guy, too. I can't remember the actor that played Martian. I mean, I know him, but I just can't.
Yeah, he's in a lot of stuff.
But the actor that plays him in Supergirl, the CW series, looks a lot like him. Like, they resemble at least. And, like, I don't know. That's one of those things. If you watch the CW shows and you watch these movies, that's always confusing to me, too, because I'm just like, why didn't you just use those people? But
yeah. Let me look at some other notes that I have here. Oh, I mean, this is a random thing. The stupid lady talking about her husband getting abducted is gone. I'm so glad that's done. Is out of there. The news report that Clark sees on the TV. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys talk about the family being excised? That whole thing. Have you guys already talked about
well,
that?
No, because we haven't gotten to the end of the movie.
Oh,
yet.
Sorry.
I'll get to that. We can go ahead and talk about that. I'm glad they cut that completely out. Of course, they
100%.
They do the whole thing where they do the same thing they did in Batman v Superman, right? Where they're like, they went to a place that's completely abandoned. Don't worry about all the collateral.
Oh, and they wrecked the fuck out of that town, man. Everything is fucked in that town,
including in a really bizarre change. I don't know if you guys noticed this. In the first one, Aquaman, like, he throws his trident and he stabs somebody in the air, and then he surfs him down to the ground, and in the first one, it smashes through the building, so you see this, like, little seam go through the building. In this one, he destroys the building. The entire building is destroyed when he does that. It's like, yeah, fuck that building.
You know why I think they did that? I thought a lot about that scene for whatever reason, because I thought there's no way they would keep that in. Because he looks so fucking goofy in that Whedon cut, in the original one. The CGI was just butt. But when he destroys the building, if you notice, there's a lot more debris. There's a lot more smoke that obscures and obfuscates what he does. So I think it's the same CGI. It's just more smoke and bilious things. And they're like, screw it. Well, we can take the building out. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'm no Aquaman expert, but... I feel like at times he's basically flying, and that doesn't make any damn sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They would make about as much sense if, like, a Fast and Furious movie, like, Vin Diesel just started flying. Like, that would be about the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Everybody starts, like, super jumping or flying when they want to in this movie.
And I mean,
there's moisture in the air. There's lots of moisture in the air. You know,
that's right.
It's the moisture in the air. That's all it is.
Why didn't they just give him something to do in the water?
He's riding the moisture in the air.
How is Aquaman any use on land? His whole thing is he's in the water. I mean,
yeah,
right, right, yeah.
The thing that taking the family out and taking the whole like people who are there in the town out does is it allows Flash to have something to do. Where in the first one it was all about Flash better get those people out of the town, and that whole sequence is awful to me. I don't like it at all. That's I don't like innocent people getting saved about, I mean, I don't like that. I don't like that. Yeah, innocent people should die sometimes. No,
yeah, it's like he should have let those kids in the bus die in Man of Steel. I mean,
exactly. Looking at some other stuff here. Oh yeah, they cut out this. This is another thing. You know, when Diana is telling Bruce about the Age of Heroes and everything, first off, of course, everything has to be changed because it's no longer Steppenwolf who's the real big bad. It's Darkseid. So the whole thing is about Darkseid now. But it's there's no longer that casual stroll outside by the pond or whatever it is, the lake. And there's none of this weird, like Victor is spying on them. And then, and they make Diana out to be this, I don't know, omniscient person where she's like, oh, if I was going to start trouble, I would have done it out there at the woods when you were spying on us. And I'm like, fuck you, Diana, you don't know everything. There is no fucking way you knew he was out there. I mean, maybe you saw something.
It would actually make more sense. It would actually make more sense if Batman knew. Because yeah. That's, you know, he's the detective, right? I mean, he's the, right. He's got, you know, eyes and ears everywhere. So,
yeah. Yeah. So they cut that out. Thank God that, and now because he's so in tune with, you know, all things machine and everything, he can just say, hey, just meet me here now. And he's about to bail within the first line of that meeting though. He's the one who calls it. And then she says something and he's like, all right, I'm out of here.
And so he drops the first F bomb, I think.
Yeah,
he does. He's like, fuck the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh my God.
First of all, does that really need to be in there? Or the worst, and I know we'll get to this scene in a little bit, but when Batman is terrible. At the very end and he's like, and I will fucking kill you.
Oh,
I'm
fucking
like,
terrible.
Come on. I am proficient at cursing. This is not how you curse.
That yeah. felt like that felt like there was
felt like I wrote it.
There was a scene, like there was a when like Monica was gonna marry when Monica and Chandler were getting married and Friends, like Ross has like the big brother talk with Chandler and he's like, you know, if you do anything to her, I will fucking, you know, I will definitely kill you or whatever, you know, and everybody just laughs at him. That's what that scene felt like to me. It was Ross telling somebody he was gonna fucking kill him.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Like I said, I can't wait till we send this movie because there's so many things that are inconsistent about their powers and everything like that. Like here again, in yet another movie, we have, I mean, and I guess they make it more suspenseful in this one for some reason, but Cyborg's in the back of that van while Ezra Miller, the Flash, is like sitting there at the, you know, the checkpoint and he's given the ID and everything. But we have yet another movie where they don't change any of the credentials before they get to the checkpoint. Yeah. And Cyborg, we have been told, like his dad puts the lowdown on, like nothing is a mystery to you. You can just do access anything you want at any time. And they wait until the checkpoint to do that shit. And they keep doing this where there's is he going to be able to get past the checkpoint? I hope they get past the checkpoint. We all know they're going to get past the checkpoint.
Yeah.
It should have been the tagline.
Doing movie stuff.
It should have been on the poster.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We know they're going to get past the checkpoint.
Should have been the title of the movie, you know?
Can I ask you guys something about this, though? One thing that didn't change between the cuts is how very, very easy it is to get these mother boxes, especially Atlantis. It takes them 5 seconds to get that one. And then, of course, the one on Earth is in a fucking closet.
Can I say this, though? What you never understand, because Whedon opens with the Superman on the phone, right? Like the kids are videotaping him and they interview him. This one opens though with his death, and you see that like that scream, which is actually pretty gut wrenching. I'm not going to lie, but my understanding and what I've read about it is that is supposed to be what kind of like his death, I guess, opens like makes.
I understand
the
that. It's just
known.
Very easy. It's if Ares wanted this in Wonder Woman, he could probably get it, right?
Yeah. The point you're saying is that.
They know where they are now.
They sense them, but they somehow don't go to the place where they are a lot of times.
That is weird.
Is that what you mean?
Fair? No, I thought
they kept saying they woke up, right?
Well,
they kept talking about
they did.
Right, okay,
but if they woke up for Darkseid and Steppenwolf, didn't they wake up for other people too?
No, they woke up because Superman was gone.
I don't think my question was getting across.
Yeah, why didn't Ares show up? Why didn't,
Well, there's that, but it's also the defenses are not very good.
Well, that's what the thing is. That first off, I don't know if I completely understand what you were getting at, but I'm going to try to explain what I know on this. First off, one of the additions they made to this is they tell Amber Heard, Mira. They tell her that Orm doesn't want that he's got his resources elsewhere, which is something they didn't do in the original version at all. They just said, well, there's the box, so you can just take it if you want to. and so that was one of the things that they added to this. The thing that's stupid about it to me is that when Steppenwolf is throwing around all these aquariums and stuff on the beach, throws that one dude up against the rock, and he's like, "I won't tell you even you kill me," and he puts the spider thing on his face, and it shows the box, but it doesn't say like here's the coordinates or anything. and he's like, "You've already told me where it is." And it's like, well, it's in the water somewhere. It's in the water somewhere. It's on a pedestal. There's a mother box on a pedestal somewhere. what are you gonna do? You know, there's ocean's pretty big. But that's what they do for that. But the whole thing to me that kills me is they can smell that they've been close to a mother box, but they don't go straight to the mother box. Yeah. Like that's what I don't understand about that. I think they pretty much go straight to it with the Amazons.
Yes.
They go straight.
He zaps their Bifrost right into the temple.
Yeah. But then after that, everything's a complete fucking mystery, including the one that's in, like you said, in the closet.
I thought that was just like a plastic container, like that people put like shoes in and stuff at first.
Tell me if I'm wrong. The mother boxes wake up sequentially though, right? They don't all wake up at the same time.
Yeah.
In fact, they talk about the final one doesn't, that's why they don't find the one in the closet, is because it doesn't wake up until they wake it up to resurrect Superman.
But they're still smelling mother box on these.
Correct. Correct. The yes. Right. Yes.
Because it keeps kidnapping
all
this
stuff. That's the cold open right there, baby. That's it. I'll see you guys later.
Yeah. And if it's calling to them on the in the Amazons and everything, as soon as they get that box, they should be hearing the next one and hearing the next one. But it doesn't matter. They've muddled how they can actually sense these things so that the plot can happen. We all know that at this point. There's even a point where they're like, the mother boxes are technology that's so far in advance that it looks like sorcery and so on and so forth. And then they go on to say, well, they're not good or evil. They do they do these various things. By the end of it, they're like, they're evil. They're evil fucking mother boxes. they completely lost the plot on mother boxes by the time it gets to the end of it. So, that's another thing that that's the other thing that kills me about the mother boxes is they're apparently technology that's so advanced and everything. And once they're smashed at the end, I'm wondering, is there no way nobody can make them anymore? Because they are technology, right? They're not magic. So,
well, unless they turn into actual mothers in Cyborg's brain.
That's true.
The more I talk about this movie, the more I fucking hate it.
Well, and it's like when he worked outside, when he used it to fix Cyborg, wouldn't that one have alerted people?
I don't know.
I don't know. Also, for some reason, this made me think of this too. When Chris was talking about they were trying to find it in the ocean, I love how the Atlanteans, they just like hang out in that town, because like there's that one part at the end where Aquaman's talking to Amber Heard and Willem Dafoe, and he just goes and gets on that truck, and they're just standing there, just hanging out by the side of the ocean, like bye. It's like it's so like, what if there were tourists there that day? It's so weird.
Let me see if there's anything else that I wrote down. Feel free to speak amongst yourselves. Anything else that you'd like to bring up while I'm looking?
Aaron is wrong.
Well, I'm ready to get to the prologue. I'm ready to, because
yeah. The prologue or the epilogue?
Yes, the epilogue. Oh. What did they call it in the? Did they call it an epilogue?
I just want to. Thank you for introducing me to future sequels and solo movies that will never happen. I appreciate
that. Here's the, and we can have that conversation too. By the way, because I wouldn't rule out anything. But I will say, I had this realization that epilogue is 40 minutes long. This is a 3-hour and 20-minute movie without it. That's a movie you could put in theaters, possibly. I think that includes the credits, okay. So maybe a little bit more than that. But
only 9 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I we are spending 40 minutes on this world building stuff that really means nothing to this movie. It's just Zack Snyder getting it all out of there so people can go, oh, I see what you were planning on, you know, doing, kind of thing. So. The nightmare stuff, K-N-I-G-H-T, nightmare, I learned, is absolutely, it's just a different movie, and I don't understand why it's here. I don't understand why it was in Batman v Superman with Flash coming through and starting that whole thing.
My understanding is he had 3 Justice League movies planned out. And we were going to end, I guess that would have been something kind of teasing either the next one or the third one. I don't know. I kind of want to see that just because I want to know why they brought Joker along.
Leto is terrible in that epilogue. Terrible.
And they changed his look from Suicide Squad. Completely changed it.
What is going on there? Why is this here?
It looks like Leto was like on a did a concert the night before and then had
And are they in that scene together? Are they really in that scene together?
Yeah. And then like
no, they are not. There's no way. He is in a green room somewhere.
Yeah, he is. He has to be. He's not even looking at him.
Mm. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And it looks like they woke him up and said, hey, come in, do this scene real quick. And they just threw some paint on him.
And I'm going to butcher his name, but poor Joe Manganiello or whatever, man. He looked ridiculous.
And he's somebody we don't even really know. That's the thing with all of these scenes is it's like, if I had a little more context, and maybe that's, you know, me not being a comic book fan or whatever, maybe I can get into your vision here, but I'm just like, I don't know who this
Snyder talked about what he was going to do though. And I think at one point Batman's supposed to die and Bruce Kent or what, I think that's what Clark names his kid. It takes over as Batman. It's like, what the fuck is going on? I mean, who knows? Maybe it would be awesome. I doubt it, but.
I'm with you. I think we're going to get sequels. If this movie can get made.
Here's the thing.
Out of nothing, I think there's going to be sequels.
It's going to happen. We may go through the same cycle again because from everything Warner Brothers is saying, their ego is not going to give in to Zack Snyder was right all along.
You think they were just trying to rile people up when they just said recently that they weren't going to do it? It was over.
Are you asking Barrett that?
Because just anybody.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. No, I think they're being honest. I don't think they have any plans right now of doing any more of this because it means they were wrong, right? If they give in and go, oh, this is actually what people wanted, they had a big battle, and there's some big egos involved here. And so, like, I think Warner will have a difficult time doing it. However, if there's money to be made, companies be making money.
Yep.
And so at the end of the day, and I think there will be. The Restore the Snyderverse thing is real. Like,
Yeah.
I mean, that's what that sounded like.
They're going to learn all the wrong lessons, obviously, as they always do from this movie. They're going to be like, oh, we'll just go ahead and give directors carte blanche, which in many cases, I think, it can work and everything. But, you know, Zack Snyder had tons of time to make this movie. Now, you know, we have a couple of dissenters in this review about this movie, which is fine. I totally expect that. But for the most part, I think people the people who demanded this really like it.
And the critics are okay with it too. It's like 75% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
And what I'm saying is that, you know, are they going to take something like, oh, length is good, and they just start making movies longer now? Like, you know what I mean?
Started though, right? Because I mean, Lord of the Rings, I mean, early aughts, Pirates of the Caribbean and Lord of the Rings kind of gave everybody carte blanche to just make. That's why we have 3-hour Transformer movies.
Maybe, but I'm just saying that the ability to make whatever you want to make.
Yeah.
Without, you know, and if somebody says you need to cut that or whatever, and you look at Zack Snyder's Justice League, and that's their reference point.
Yeah.
Right now what I'm coming up with is not going to be the wrong lessons. There are going to be some other wrong lessons that they learn out of this. But he had all the time in the world to make this.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that's going to come out of this. Whenever it comes time for Zack Snyder to make Justice League 2, he ain't going to have the time he had to make this one. And it's going to be a completely different situation. The reason why I was so down on this being made was that nothing that he had made in the last 10 years made me confident that this was going to be good.
His career is weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm kind of a fan. Like, it's weird for me to say that.
I hate him.
I like his eye. I really do. I just think his best is... This is interesting considering, I think, let me think about this. This is Thursday, right? So this I think this Sins video either dropped earlier this week or is dropping today. But don't we have a Zack Snyder movie on the schedule this week? I don't want to give anything away. If it's
it's played on Tuesday. It was Legend of the Guardians.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Legend of the Guardians may be my favorite Zack Snyder movie. Mm-hmm. I actually, because his visual eye is reined in by a story that's already been, you know, presented before him. So I like his eye. I just think his story sense isn't great. And when I watch Watchmen, it is so messy and all over the place. And
it really is.
Doesn't know what to do with its characters and means hardly anything. And I'm just like, man, if you could combine his visual, I almost want him to be a cinematographer or a visual, you know, overseer or something.
If only he could work with Joss Whedon. To put together a movie, a superhero movie.
You're talking about
maybe I'm crazy, but that could work.
Are you talking about like a super league of directors?
Yeah, it's together? You got it right there. You got it right there.
When,
you got it.
Okay. When Batman versus Superman came out, though, I remember people talking about how it had to be studio interference because of how narratively disjointed it was. And I mean, some of it probably was. But even if you watch that director's cut, which is what I watched this time, that's narratively fucked up too. And then I'm just like, did you see Watchmen? Or did you see Sucker Punch? Because those movies are not really, they're not cohesive narratives. I mean, Sucker Punch is kind of a dream state, Dude made Dawn of the Dead and 300, which were hits. Dawn of the Dead, I like, by the way. I do not like 300. But anyways, huge hit. And then he just gets the keys to the kingdom after that. And he does Watchmen, which doesn't make that much money. And then he gets to do like a fucking Owl movie. and then whatever Sucker Punch was.
That's actually what the subtitle is.
Bomb or don't do well.
Fucking Owl movie.
They're like, here, have Superman. See what you can do with that. What the fuck?
Which, you know, I'm reminded that the Legend of the Guardians trailer had a 30 Seconds to Mars song on it. So Jared Leto connection there.
Nice. That's funny because when we were, this is a little derailed. When we were sending Phantom of the Opera, it was It was Patrick Wilson versus Gerard Butler. So it was Night Owl versus Leonidas from 300.
By the way, that the Amazon, when they talk about the battle from like ages ago between all the Atlanteans, the Amazon, and the humans taking on everybody, that one dude was like, he looked like a computerized Gerard Butler, right?
He does. From 300. Even know who that is.
I don't know if that was a real person. Like, I don't know if that was an actual actor.
Comic book thing or whatever, but I don't even know who that character is.
The character is Zeus.
Is that Zeus?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Man, I'd love to see Gerard Butler play Zeus.
Nah.
And he'd still have Zeus. Like Gerard Butler as Zeus with an American accent? That'd be awesome.
By the way, who decided in that battle that they'd all get together? Did they know that Darkseid was coming down?
You know what? I got the same vibes. They were having a picnic. I got the same vibes as at the end of Endgame, where like, where did they meet Doctor Strange? Where did everybody like coalesce in Wakanda or whatever,
so that
he could draw all these rings for everybody? Did they have a meeting? Did they say like, okay, hey, everybody, calm down. We're gonna go right here, right at the time where Cap is almost dead.
Never mind.
It was a group text.
It was a group text. You're right. Yeah. The other thing is Darkseid's completely somehow forgotten about Earth, I think, by the time Steppenwolf says
Earth.
Steppenwolf's like, I found the anti-life here. What do you think? And Darkseid's like, interesting. Even though he's been there. All right. Are we going to open up the floor a bit for maybe about
five to 10 minutes?
And then we got to get on to another one after that. So another stream. So
I'm sorry if you hate me, people, because I didn't like this. I wanted to like it.
Don't hate you because of this. But no. Anyway, we're gonna open this up, and I guess answer some questions. Maybe I don't know.
Sure. If you've got any Snyder Cut, WB, DCEU, that kind of stuff, whatever stuff we've mentioned
too
that kind of triggered something. This is your chance to do that thing that you've always wanted to do when you listen to the podcast, which is like speak back to the people in your ears. Like I have that experience all the time.
You fucking morons.
I watched a movie where a pair of jeans kill somebody last night. If you want to ask me about that, you can.
Ooh, a pair of jeans.
That's the one. That's the one on Shudder, right?
Yeah,
Slacks with an X. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
This has been your Slacks mini pod.
I don't know if it still is, but it's a couple of days ago. That was 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. And
that's amazing.
It was not good. But anyway,
the question is?
Yes. Obina says, would I have to watch Batman v Superman to understand this movie?
No.
I would say no. The beginning of this movie is the end of Batman v Superman. But if you know that Superman is dead, after that, then this is really just the beginning of this movie. It just tells you how the boxes are getting opened and everything.
It's the same thing too. I mean, you don't have to watch Man of Steel to watch Batman v Superman. Batman v Superman opens up on the destruction that they are causing at the end of Man of Steel, right? But I mean, you don't need to see Man of Steel. So I think it's the same here.
Right.
Yeah. Tyler says, what did you think about the scene where Flash saves Iris? I was really glad to see Iris. Watching the TV flashes in engaged me with a lot of that world. And I was like, oh, that's Iris West. Anyways,
though we just said that's what Flash is always about, is just him saving Iris. But they didn't say her name though, right?
Nope.
We just know it's Iris because Zack Snyder.
Why did you say that name?
But that actress who I'm so sorry, I cannot remember.
Kiersey Clemons, I think.
Yes. And she is in this movie on Netflix. It was called like Sweetwater or something like that, where she's trapped on this island. I don't know. She's great. She's great.
Mm-hmm. And
she'll be in the Flash movie. I'm looking forward to the Flash movie.
Me too. That scene fucking rules. It's a great scene. Badass. I love the visuals. I love everything about that scene.
The saving
even
Iris.
Even when he falls in love with the hot dog there for a second, you're not sure what's going on.
Man, I think it's awesome.
He's eyeing that hot dog as much as he's eyeing Iris, for sure. There's no doubt about it.
Did you guys like that scene?
No, I did. I did really like it.
Yeah.
I thought that whole going through the window thing was dope.
I often, though, during these scenes where it's all slow-mo, I'm trying to think in my head, though, is this still possible?
Yeah.
Because because the wreck is instantaneous. I mean, the impact of that wreck is still going, should still like affect her a little bit. And then he's like, yeah, you know, he goes in that slow motion. And I'm sitting there thinking, what does this look like in fast motion?
Yeah.
I want to know what this looks like in mass motion.
Yeah.
Flash's powers always confuse me anyways, because he's not like, he's not really strong, but I guess he kind of is because of the speed. Like he's able to build up things. So I don't, it's, that always like, how, like, could he actually like, you know, lift her and like with, I don't know, stuff like that just always confuses me, but it's fine. I don't care.
Abigail says during that Flash and Iris bit, why only I wondered his shoes?
That too. Yeah. If you're going to go that route, which I think is fair, because I think it's kind of ridiculous that like on the show and stuff, he can just be speeding off in normal clothes and it doesn't affect them. Mm-hmm. But they only do the shoes. Like, why, you know, unless his clothes are supposed to be made of that same material.
Yeah. Laura says, if I haven't seen either cut, which one do I watch first?
I would watch this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't watch
either of them, honestly. If you've gone this long without seeing them.
This one is a much better movie. When you watch that other one, Yeah, there's not any real reason to watch that first one anymore. I feel like it's the only thing that's weird between the two for me is that Silas is alive in one version and he's dead in another.
Unless he
could bring him back, I'm sure, by some, you know, like because you remember they talked about how like the mother box technology can turn smoke back into a house or whatever. I could totally see him going back to Star Labs and going and then like there's a Joe Morton there.
Yeah.
Love Joe Morton. But I do wish, for a lot of reasons, I wish like theaters were open and full, because that would mean everybody's safe. But I'm really curious what this movie would have. Now, granted, it wouldn't have been 4 hours. We wouldn't have gotten this movie, I don't think, in the theater. But I do think this movie would have destroyed the Weed, because the Weed one didn't make a lot of money compared to what they wanted it to make, right? It was, I don't know if it was a bomb.
I mean, I think it broke even about.
Yeah, yeah.
At this length, it would have been hard, though, to turn it over.
Like I said, I think it would have been like 3 hours. I don't think it would have been four, which Endgame was 3 hours and made over $900 million. So
it was also the last movie in an extremely successful franchise.
Yeah.
I agree. But I am curious. I think enough people, because there's a lot of people obviously behind the, you know, release the Snyder cut. So I don't know. I'm just curious.
The thing, the answer to the question is yes. All of his, he should be naked. If he's going to run that fast, all his clothes should disappear.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were talking about this.
No, Aaron's talking about wanting to see Ezra Miller naked, which is fine. Right. He's a beautiful person.
By the way, that made me think of something we haven't talked about, but I actually see somebody asking that question. Yeah. So we'll get to the 4x3 presentation here shortly. But Tom says, what did you think was the most improved scene?
I'll be honest, for me, it was that scene we talked about at the beginning with Flash first meeting Bruce Wayne. I thought that it, just cutting out that brunch thing, made that scene just sing to me.
Yeah. The ending, the whole ending sequence is better.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Oh,
for
and,
sure.
Yeah. And I have because everything before it is better. Right. I feel like the end battle is not that different, but it did play better. Right.
I will tell you, it made a lot more sense to me this time than I remember during the first time. Like I knew exactly what everybody was doing, how they were accomplishing their, like the geography of it made more sense to me. It felt better to me overall.
Can I say one thing? I'm sorry, go ahead.
I will say a scene that's not improved, I think, is actually a lesser scene. Well, maybe not a lesser. They weren't able to do much with it, was the whole, when they go to the place between Gotham and Metropolis and they're under Gotham Harbor and all that whole scene. There's this weird decision to change it to Cyborg leading everybody, all the hostages away, while Flash is just kind of useless and like, here, go this way. No, now to go this way. And we'll all meet outside. I didn't really get that change at all. Did it make sense? It seems like to me, if you got Flash, you make him take everybody one by one, just like you would in that first movie. And then it's also that they can do this pretty cool scene at the end when the end of that scene where the building crumbles and Flash goes and just starts And but then it ends with the thing that I'm like, come on. Like, there's one last bit of debris that falls down and Flash is like, oh no. And I'm like, you're fast.
you saved
Iris when the car was already crashed.
Yeah. That is one thing. One of my sons watched part of this with me. He wasn't down for watching the whole thing, but his main Martin thing is it's hard for him to watch Flash because once you can run that fast, there are no issues. Mm-hmm. There is no other superpower that for him, this is what he says, that can beat you. So what if somebody can punch hard or anything? Like, if you are that much faster than them, you are in no danger ever and can defeat everyone and do everything.
Yeah, the only thing you're going to have a problem with is other speedsters, right? Or Superman. It.
Or a parademon that can snipe your ass from like 600 yards away.
We didn't talk about that lucky shot.
Pace. I want to ask you about Flash, though. Did the Jonathan mentioned Speed Force, and I guess that's how he reversed.
That's what they call that. Whatever. That's what he goes right, in. Yeah.
But that gave me very much Superman whipping around the Earth. A bunch of times to reverse and bring back Lois Lane in the first Superman.
But it
and
works better.
It was bullshit, and it was exactly like the Time Stone reversing the bullshit in Infinity War, and I hated it.
I will defend that one a little bit because, and I think Aaron's going to say the same thing. I mean, Flash can. I mean, if you're going faster than the speed of light, since feasibly you could go back in time, right?
So, that is theoretical physics. That is the theory of relativity. That is something that is based in science, as opposed to the fact that you reverse the rotation of the Earth and somehow relativity is back bullshit. In time.
It's an easy fix, regardless of the probability.
Nothing is relative.
But I think the Flash movie. Then you're probably not going to like the Flash movie because, from what I understand, the Flash movie is Flashpoint, which is where he does time. Go yeah. into time to try to like save his mom, and then he fucks up everything. It's like the butterfly.
Or like Endgame, where they turn into tiny robots in suits.
Yeah, I think what's going to happen is Iris is going to show up and say, "On your left." I think that's going to happen.
Dick JKH says, "What do you think of the 4x3 presentation?"
I honestly didn't notice it after a while.
I did not either.
Well,
I thought it was fine.
I don't know what I feel about that. Didn't notice it after a while. I think it's
I got used to it.
No, I understand what you meant by it, but I'm trying to figure out if that's a proper way to assess that. I love the 4x3. Yes, it is something that it is not distracting or whatever. And after the first few minutes, but it makes the movie look a lot sharper. This is what Steven Spielberg did with Jurassic Park. When he made that, he made it in flat. He made it 1.85:1 ratio. Was not CinemaScope because he wanted to emphasize the height of dinosaurs on the screen. And when you have these kind of big time heroes and everything, it is better to see them vertically than it is to see this big, huge widescreen where you've reduced the amount of height that you actually have on the screen and everything. So it makes everything look very sharp. It looks very good. Yeah
and people the movie made beautiful. It sound like it was like so rare. It's not that rare. Even Kelly Reichardt on like mm-hmm. Who's not a Spielberg, but she does smaller films, but she does this a lot.
First Cow was 4x3.
First Cow,
my thing is I wish, because when directors direct, they have to direct with multiple like frames in mind if they're doing IMAX, right? Like you've got the 4x3 for IMAX that you're keeping in mind, and then you've got the 16x9, for digital that you're keeping in mind. I really wish creators could just think in terms of one ratio, and it can be a different ratio for each film. I don't care, but it is so much more artistic when they're able to frame things perfectly for their ratio, when they're able to, like you said, emphasize certain things based on what their ratio is good at. I really think it's just a matter of the artist being able to paint on the right canvas and knowing what that canvas is, you know, when they start the project. So I liked it. I liked that Snyder knew what he was doing with the 4x3 and made it really, really gorgeous.
And I hadn't looked that much into it, like on the technical level. So Chris just taught me something, which I appreciate.
Oh, nice.
I didn't know that about Jurassic Park.
They started doing that. Some directors just don't think about it. The Godzilla, the Roland Emmerich Godzilla was not going to be good no matter what you shot of them, but he shot that in CinemaScope and it made all the difference for that creature that's on the screen where it was constantly changing sizes and it never looked imposing at any moment in the movie. So you do have to think about stuff like that when you're about make the thing, and it was a great choice for him to make it on this. So.
And likewise, if you're doing like an ultra widescreen format, you can really emphasize vertical distance. You know, like there's really a chance to, you know, like it's just, yeah, directors using that to their advantage is a best, it's a win-win scenario. So, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this mini pod.
Hope you enjoyed it.
I very much glad for you, all you guys could show up and talk to me today and all awesome. Our commenters and everything.
Yeah.
It makes it so much better. I think it's like one of those things like, sure. Well, maybe we should do this all the time. Now, I don't know. We can do that, but I do enjoy it. I do enjoy it. It makes it a lot livelier discussion and everything. So
I love seeing pregame and stuff where they're like saying like good morning to each other and stuff. Cause they've been doing this every day this week. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
That's going to do it for this mini pod. It's Chris Atkinson, Barrett Scherer, Jonathan Watkins, and Aaron Dicer. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.